Blog Talk Radio.
Paradigm shift. It's time for love and empowerment. It's time to awaken to consciousness. Today is Total Truth Tuesday. This is Carol Ann Parisi, and this is Awaken to Empowerment. Let's begin our show today. First of all, I need a cup of coffee because it's morning and it's a beautiful morning. So Total Truth Tuesday. I believe that we should probably dig into a little thing called the power of will, okay? And it's some truth. what is willpower, okay? We are wrecking balls to the masses, and we will move anything that's on the way to our ultimate path. That's will. So sometimes, why all of a sudden do you feel like your willpower is drained and you can't push through anymore? Well, here's diving into a little topic, and this is from an article that I'm reading. I don't even know who the article is written by. Hopefully by the time I get down, it'll be great. But it's on the Awaken to Empowerment site. But let's read through this, okay? Okay, your mind is your master, and that is the truth. Your mind controls everything in your reality, and the more and more science discovers, the more this truth is profound. It is present. There is an old adage, I only have so much willpower. It's totally blown out of proportion. And, you know, willpower is limited only by your mind and you needing that cookie or having to go buy that thing. You know, maybe that's just a trick to get your glucose, you know, that the cookie thing. Maybe your brain's hungry for more. You know, here's something. Someone needed a sugary beverage after a hard task or to have that cookie in front of them to stick to their diet. When your willpower is tested, your brain may function differently. Willpower is depleted by self-control tasks show decreased activity in the anterior cingulate cortex. Okay? So there is something in your cognitive function when you're going ahead and you're already getting drained and doing a lot. Maybe that your willpower needs to be tapped in. So I've stunning evidence for a limited amount of willpower that one can have. When the brain gets moody, when it's being split between so many decisions and wanting to choose what it shouldn't, and that actively changes its functioning and slows down activity in the anterior cingulate cortex, which regulates blood pressure, heart rate, changes in its functioning slows down activity. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm reading like an idiot today. Regroup. Okay, this is really interesting. The brain gets moody when being split between so many decisions and wanting to choose what it shouldn't, and all that activity changes the functioning. And it slows down the activity in the anterior cingulate cortex, which regulates blood pressure, heart rate, and rational cognitive functions, like reward and decision-making. So it only makes sense that as the activity decreases because of stressor of choice that the body responds to making easiest decisions. Excuse me. So that's why eating that cookie or, you know, doing whatever the habit is, because it all goes back to habit. You get good habits in place, and maybe you wouldn't do the cookie. Maybe you'd go take a 15-minute walk or do some mild stretching, or, you know, maybe go write down your feelings in your journal. So when you have, if you have good habits, the choices you make for empowering you when you're under a lot of stress and have a lot of decisions to make and you're not coming from a place of powerful clarity is you've got to get those habits in order. So if your habits are always, and it takes 3 weeks to do a habit. So if your habits are always, you know, going to the refrigerator when you're frustrated or going to the cookie jar when you're frustrated or, you know, I mean, me, I go shopping. Okay, I've said that many times on this show. You need to break those habits for different habits. So this is very interesting, and it's all scientific, and it's all based in that anterior cingulate cortex, and that does regulate your rational cognitive functions. So it'll help you to keep going. So even further doing, so then it also helps to give glucose to the brain. So your brain sugar levels are down. Now it wants to be replenished through you eating more and more sugar to build back your willpower. Okay, so here's the discovery. Your brain likes to make simple and quick decisions as it leads to no fatigue. But when surrounded by things it knows it shouldn't do but wants to do, it has trouble. You end up stressing and worrying and using glucose fuels in your brain, leading to decreased activity of that part that controls decision-making and reward. But then you reach, grab some sugar, and keep doing whatever you originally intended to do. But maybe this isn't really the actual way willpower works. There's people that, the movie stars, they get in shape for a role or diligent about their diet. It doesn't seem like willpower is used up any time of that day. Actually, it seems like they have more willpower than the average person. Do they have more glucose availability in the brain? Do they have busier and more strengthened connections in the anterior cingulate? Maybe not. In fact, they have mastered their mind, confidence, and mood when it comes to willpower using activities. Okay, so they have mastered their mind, they have mastered their confidence, they have mastered their mood when it comes to willpower using activities. So that's kind of what we just said. So let's unpack it a little bit. Okay. I love reading. I love reading because sometimes stuff bounces on me. Okay. On the flip side, everything above comes from a couple studies that show willpower is not being limited or fixed. In fact, the only way that it is limited or fixed solely based on your reasoning and ability is to think that your willpower is unlimited or fixed or infinite. In one of the studies, the group was asked to do specific tasks, and after they gauged their fatigue, the one who were the more tired were offered sugary beverages, most accepted, and then kept on going like they hadn't done the task before. But the interesting part, before doing this task, they were asked a simple question. Is willpower finite or infinite? The result, the people who said it was finite felt tired and took the sugary beverage to continue after completing the first task, while the group that said it was infinite trucked on as usual, outperforming their counterparts. Master your mind. Isn't that interesting? So it's completely relevant, and you want to make sure that everything you do doesn't seem draining, but it'll also help you realize that if you think you can, you can, okay? There isn't a fixed amount of willpower. It's the perception of a fixed amount of willpower. And, yeah, sometimes you're tired and, you know, don't let stuff wear you down, but that's why I said your habits. Get habits that will build you up. Realize that you are an infinite being, and your mind can do more. We only use, 5% of our brains? I don't know. So this is something that I found to be extremely interesting and enlightening. I'm drinking my coffee, delicious, hot. Oh, so good. I had to have a magic potion and coffee that we're going to talk about maybe later on in the show. And I have to go to the James Allen day by day. But I wanted to get into this willpower thing. So, you know what? Have fun. reframe your thinking. Start tapping in to small successes. If you start tapping into small successes every day, you build upon that, because success breeds success. If you are starting a new diet, start writing down what your ideas are for your diet and how and what you want to do, or anything that you're doing. If you've got a task, if you have things that you need to do in other venues of your life, like, you know, I don't know, doing a business plan or starting an exercise program or cleaning your house or whatever that thing is that just seems so overburdening and overwhelming, you know, don't let the overwhelm get to you. Don't, you know, I know there are times that there are times that things just seem so overwhelming, and you don't think that you could go ahead and get through. And you got to transcend that. And you can, in your mind and your will, you can transcend it. You know, success is not a mystery. It's a mindset, and it's a mastery of your mind and your mindset. You need to focus on your thought forces, okay? You need to just close your eyes and dream, and then open your heart to see. And you will see what you have and you do. You know, I know sometimes you go ahead and, you know, what your goal is so big and it's just so convoluted and it seems so far out there. Well, that's why you need to chunk things down, you know. You need to chunk things down. You need to, you know, eradicate the negative and this self-discipline. Do not let your trials break you, okay? Let your trials become your breakthrough. And these are just things that I, you know, I've just been writing stuff down and, you know, don't let your fears stop you. Everything is up to you and your will. And I know this is a little disjointed. I am going to get myself another computer, like I was saying yesterday, one of these days, because then this way I'll be able to have the show going on one and then go ahead and do my work on the other. You know what? Sometimes the distance between your dreams and reality is intimidating. But if you go ahead and you tap in to that infinite intelligence, that all-powerful will that you know that you have, and you build those muscles up, you can do anything your heart desires. And sometimes you need to have a coach, you know. So let's go back now. I'm going to go ahead and get to the Okay, sorry. Trying to get to our September 27th date and all of our thoughts. Here's our thought for the morning. Okay, this is September 27th. Men go after much company and seek out new excitements, but they are not acquainted with peace. In divers paths of pleasure, they search for happiness, but they do not come to rest. Through divers ways of laughter and feverish delirium, they wander after gladness and life. But their tears are many and grievous, and they do not escape death. Drifting upon the ocean of life in search of selfish indulgences, men are caught in its storms. And only after many tempests and much privation do they fly to the rock of refuge, which rests deep silence of their own being. Goes back to that word, Selah, rest. Keep peace. Okay, here is the meditation for the day. It's really deep, too. And this goes back to our really powering thing, is that, you know, clarity is power, right? So confusion, suffering, and spiritual darkness follow the thoughtless. Okay, confusion, suffering, and spiritual darkness follow thoughtlessness. The man who is afraid to think, searchingly upon his opinions and to reason critically about his position will have to develop moral courage before he can acquire discrimination. Now remember, discrimination is that discernment thing. A man must be true to himself, fearless with himself, before he can perceive the pure principles of truth, before he can receive the all-revealing light of truth. This is Truthful Tuesday. The more truth is inquired of, the brighter it shines. It cannot suffer under examination and analysis. The more error is questioned, the darker it grows. It cannot survive the entrance of pure and searching thought. To prove all things is to find the good and throw away the evil. He who reasons and meditates learns to discriminate. He who discriminates discovers the eternally true. Very cool. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. I think that I skipped this. I love the computer thing. It's so awesome. So you've got to go ahead. Again, it goes back to this wonderful principle of just resting and being peaceful and coming to the truth. But I think when you're silent with your Creator, you will get more answers. Clarity is so huge, though. Drinking, coffee. My computer's not letting me see the rest of this. This is hysterical. Okay, let's see. Okay. Anyway, let's go back. The computer is doing some fun stuff. But anyway, this is so good. I really would like to get another computer because it's just not it's not happy right now. But that's okay. It's all good. I'm happy. I'm good. I've got clarity. I know what we got to do here. I know that there's a bigger plan and purpose. I really like that last little tidbit where it said truth. It comes to men when they're silent. I really think that that's an important component. So now I'm back on the page. Let's see if my computer will oblige me. Okay, so the more error is questioned, the darker it grows. Here we go. The more truth is inquired of, the brighter it shines. It cannot suffer under examination and analysis. Okay? The more error is questioned, the darker it grows. It cannot survive the entrance of pure and searching thought. To prove all things is to find the good and throw away all evil. He who reasons and meditates learns to discriminate. He who discriminates discovers the eternally true. So I know we went through this a little bit, but this is really deep stuff. I mean, this is really harmony, blessedness, and the light of truth attend upon the thoughtful. And here's the thought for the evening. Meditation centered upon divine realities and the very essence and soul of prayer is the silent reaching upward of the soul toward the eternal. Meditation is intense dwelling in thought upon an idea, theme, or object, but thoroughly comprehending it. And whatsoever you constantly meditate upon, you will not only come to understand, but will grow more and more into its likeness. For it become incorporated with your very being. It will become, in fact, your very self. If, therefore, you constantly dwell upon that which is selfish and debasing, you will ultimately become selfish and debased. If you ceasingly think upon that which is pure and unselfish, you will surely become pure and unselfish. So, going back to the big rocks, thoughts are things, and I'm sorry, my allergies are just so bad here. Digging deep into profound thoughts is important. And being silent and knowing who you are is important. So I love this Jane Balin. I know it's a little deep. Discriminate. God, could you imagine using that word today? I know I keep saying that. But I just couldn't imagine using that word today. Because it's got such a negative connotation. I think I'm going to go out on Facebook and maybe make a big deal about the word discriminate, how we used to use it, and it was a word that was of excellence and empowerment. So, Let's see, any other good news? I'm trying to get back to the studio. This is so fun. Here we go. Got 10 more minutes. I would like to go into... Got 10 minutes. So I would love to do Outwitting the Devil, but I really want to save that for Monday's shows. There's so much, so much. Truth Tuesday. How much truth can we handle at one time, I wonder? I have been listening to a variety of different YouTube videos, and, you know, positive words are just so motivating. And then you go ahead and you own them, and you take them pretty much as your own. It's just it's a beautiful thing. The last 9 minutes of our show here, I'm going to go into a little bit of James Allen. God, I really am so sorry. James Allen has got all these great things. He's got books called Above Life's Turmoil and All These Things Added, The Kingdom and the Heavenly Life. As a Man Thinketh is one of his timeless truths. Byways of Blessedness, 8 Pillars of Prosperity, Foundation Stones to Happiness and Success, From Passion to Peace, From Poverty to Power. We are into the James Allen Book of Meditations for every day in the year. Light on Life's Difficulties, Man, King of Mind, Body, and Circumstances, Men and Systems, Morning and Evening Thoughts, Out of the Heart, Poems of Peace, The Divine Companion, Life Triumphant, Mastering the Heart and Mind, The Master of Destiny, The Shining Gateway. I mean, just so profoundly deep and rich. It's amazing how this man, this was a prolific writer. And I was actually saying something to my partner, Steve. People used to read this stuff. People didn't have the television distraction, the iPhone distraction, even radio. People didn't have as many distractions back in the day. And I don't think that has helped us as much as we would like it to, you know. I think a lot of these distractions have probably hurt us. So I'm going to go ahead, I love this. This is the 8 Pillars of Prosperity by James Allen. And it's amazing. It's a wonderful thing. Drinking. It's popularly supposed that the greater prosperity for individuals or nations can only come through political and social reconstruction. This cannot be true apart from the practice of the moral virtues in the individual that comprise a nation. Better laws and social conditions will always follow a higher realization of morality among individuals of a community, but no legal enactment can give prosperity to, nay, it cannot prevent the ruin of a man or nation that has become lax and decadent in the pursuit and practice of virtue. The moral virtues are the foundation and support of prosperity, as they are the soul of greatness. Oh, this is so good. They endure forever, and the works of man which endure are built upon them. Without them, there is neither strength, stability, nor substantial reality, but only ephemeral dreams. To find moral principles is to have found prosperity, greatness, and truth, therefore a strong, valiant, joyful, and free. Wow. Wow. Wow, that is so good. That just breaks it down. That breaks it down. That really just is. That is just so good. I have to go ahead and take that. It's just so delicious. Okay, so there are 8 pillars. Prosperity rests upon moral foundation. Its popularity is supposed to rest on an immoral foundation. That is upon trickery, sharp practice, deception, and greed. This is just amazing to me. This is amazing to me. I just, wow. One commonly hears, or even otherwise intelligent man, declare that no man can be successful in business unless he is dishonest, thus regarding business prosperity a good thing, as the effect of dishonesty, a bad thing. Such statement is superficial and thoughtless. It reveals the total lack of knowledge of moral causation. This is just really amazing. It's rich, it's deep, it's profound. It's really something that I really want to dig deeper into. is it though one should sow henbane and reap spinach, or erect a brick house on a quagmire? Things impossible in the natural order of causation, and therefore not be attempted. The spiritual and moral order of causation is not different in principle, but only in nature. The same law obtains things unseen, and thoughts and deeds as in things seen. In natural phenomena, man sees the process in natural objects and acts in accordance with them, but not seeing the spiritual process, he imagines that they do not obtain, so he does not act in harmony with them. Yet the spiritual process, this is lovely, yet the spiritual process are just as simple and just as sure as the natural process. They are indeed the same natural words manifesting in the world of mind. The natural world is the mental world made visible. The seen in the mirror of the unseen. The upper half of the circle is no way different from the lower half, but the spherity is reversed. The material and the mental are not two detached arcs in the universe. They are two halves of a complete circle. The natural and the spiritual are not at eternal enmity, but the true order of the universe are at one. It is the unnatural and the abuse of function and faculty where division arises and where man is wrestled back with repeated suffering from the perfect circle from which it has to depart. Every process in matter is also a process in mind. Oh, God. Every natural law has its spiritual counterpart. Take any natural object, you will find its fundamental process in the mental sphere. If you rightly search, consider, for instance, the germination of a seed and its growth into a plant and the final development of a flower and back to a seed again. This also is a mental process. Thoughts are seeds, which, falling in the soil of the mind, germinate and develop until they reach a completed stage, blossoming into deeds, good or bad, brilliant or stupid, according to their nature, and ending as seeds of thought again to be sown in the mind. A teacher is a sower of seed, a spiritual agriculturalist, while he who teaches himself is a wise farmer of his own mental plot. The growth of a thought is that of a growth of a plant. The seed must be sown seasonably, and time is required for its full development into the plant of knowledge and the flower of wisdom. And this dude is deep. This stuff is so good. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I'm. Guess what? Time to pause because we only have 90 seconds. So we are going to go over this 8 Pillars of Prosperity by James Allen. I really feel that James Allen is an unsung hero, and his works are so needed for today. There was a presidential debate last night, and, you know, it was okay. I mean, Hillary was, like, right on. I'm prepping. But the point is, how come sometimes people are looking at performance of a debate of a professional politician versus results of a professional businessman? That's all I'm going to say for this one today. You know what? We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same station, on Awaken to Empowerment. This is Carol Parisi. We'll check you out next time. Please make sure you listen or call in, 646-787-1584. And I'd like to do more of these. We'll unpack this very deeply tomorrow, the 8 Pillars. Make it a great day. God bless. We'll catch you next time on Awaken to Empowerment. Make sure you tune in every day or download the podcast. This is Carol Ann Parisi. Peace, love, and freedom.